tonight and appreciate prayer and appreciate you being here tonight. As you know, last Sunday night we began a series, or I would say the first of a series of lessons that I entitled, What Have You Heard About the Church of Jesus Christ? There are those who say that we do not believe in music or even like music, and we demonstrated through our study last Sunday night that's just not true because of our study of the 9 different times the Bible talks about singing. And also especially in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19 and in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it's obvious there that the Bible teaches that yes, we do believe in music because we were singing beautiful music tonight. Tonight, I want to continue with the lesson or the series that we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to be addressing certain topics and issues on this subject that I know that might be offensive. But I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart that I love each and every one of you, and especially if you are a visitor here tonight, my intent is to simply open the Word of God and to let you hear from the Word of God. But there are certain individuals in the religious world and also in the world itself that have different ideas, misconceptions about the church. And one of those has to do with this thought. There are those who believe that the Church of Christ, when they see that sign out there on the road, that we are just another denomination. Now, I want you to think about the word denomination itself, just to make it as simple as I can. The word denomination is not found in the Bible. It's not found in the New Testament. That's a man-made concept, denominationalism, denomination, one of many. If I were to pull out of my pocket, or which is up here, a dollar bill, you'd know that'd be a denomination, in that there's one of many dollars and different kinds. With that said, I want to talk to you about whether or not the Church of Christ is just another denomination. And I've heard people say that to me, and I've read that in literature. What I'm interested in is whether or not that is true or not. Several years ago, Brother Dan Winkler and his family experienced a tragedy because his son, also a preacher, was killed by his wife. You also know that the media decided they were going to also, doing their job, they were going to do what they could to do whatever they could to give their side and to, of course, report on this tragedy in this family. And one of the individuals that you know of, Nancy Grace, who has a program, decided that she was also going to say what she could about this incident and this tragedy as well. So, if you remember, she invited a Baptist preacher to come on her program and to say something about the Church of Jesus Christ. She was interested in what the church claims, and to give a little background, and I'm not sure why she chose this man, but she did. And this is what he said in the comment that she made on that particular night. He said, well, the Church of Christ is a relatively new church, a new group. It was started about 150 years ago by a preacher by the name of Alexander Campbell. Now, that's what he said. I remember hearing those words because I was watching the program when she heard him say that as well. Now, here's the question that I want to begin in our discussion tonight. Is that a fact? Is what he said based on his knowledge? Historically, I think he's wrong, of course. I think his conclusion is wrong, but is it correct in what he said about the Church of Christ? Now, remember, this is not going to be the very first time that someone will say something about the church or against the church. That's just something that we know that's going to happen from time to time. What about the Bible when it says in the book of Romans chapter 16 and verse 16 The churches of Christ salute you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. So obvious, the Bible speaks of the church of Christ. We're going to look at that particular verse later on in our lesson tonight. Now, we should not be alarmed or be surprised when we have individuals in the world that are going to say things against you, against me, whoever it is that's in the church, because even Jesus, in his very beginning of his ministry, stated in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now remember this, when Jesus spoke these words, he is at the beginning of his ministry, and the church of Jesus Christ, his church, he said he would build, was not in existence. He was referring to those disciples in the future when his church would be built and his kingdom would be established, that they would be, along with the disciples who would follow him during that occasion and afterwards, that they would suffer persecution because of their righteousness, because of their willingness to follow the will of God and also to follow Jesus Christ. And so, based on that fact, yes, we are experiencing, those who are believers in Christ, they will always experience from the world a sense of persecution and also doubt in what you believe religiously, especially from the Bible itself. Even the Apostle Paul one time said, by his own brethren attacking him on different occasions. He said this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. He said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You can tell people the truth about a religious issue or a religious subject. Even though it's the truth, they might hate you or despise you or persecute you because you're just simply opening the Bible and telling them what the Bible says, what thus saith the Lord, and just simply read it for itself, not adding anything to it or taking anything away. But even though you might do that, and you do it with sincerity, they're still going to possibly persecute you or say all kinds of things against you. Now, I want to go back to what the Baptist preacher said to Nancy Grace. If what he said is actually true, that we are just another denomination, then we've got to really think about this subject tonight. Is it true? In the next few minutes, what I'm going to strive to do for you is I'm simply going, and by the way, let me tell you this, I do have a manuscript of this lesson tonight, word for word, almost word for word, and it's going to be for your taking after the service tonight, so please pick one up if you need one. I'm simply going to be looking at four verses tonight. You want to write them down or just have a reference to them? First one is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. The second one is going to be Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 41, and then also verse 47. Then we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 16, verse 16 in detail. And then we're also going to be looking at Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. I don't have much time tonight, so we're going to get right into the lesson. Let's go ahead, if you have your Bibles, and let's be turning to the book of Matthew chapter 16. I'll wait for you. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at verse 18 and 19. Now, you know the context. You know Jesus is with the disciples there. After talking to them, and Peter specifically in the context of verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." After he says to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then he goes on to say, "I also say to you that thou art Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." Notice he says that I'm going to build my church. That pronoun has reference to Jesus himself. My church, he says. Actually, he is using the Greek word ekklesia. He is saying, I'm going to build my ekklesia. What is that word? What does it mean? It means the called out, we say. It means those who are the assembly of people who have been called by God to assemble as a group of people who are disciples and believers of Jesus Christ. There will come a day when I will establish my group, my assembly, my called out. There will come a day when you will be experiencing that, and that day will come. It's in the future. It's not yet, but it will come to pass. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. With that said, it's obvious here that there are some questions that need to be considered when you look at verse 18. Did Jesus Christ promise that he was going to build his church? Yes. When Christ built his church, whom did it belong? Well, obviously it belonged to him because he said it's going to be my church. For instance, would it belong to Christ? Or would it belong to somebody else? Well, I think we all know the answer to that. It's going to belong to Jesus. It will always belong to Jesus. It will always be His church. It's not my church. People will say to me, David, hey, what about your church down? I know what they're saying. And I want to respond by saying, hey, it's not my church. It doesn't belong to me. It's the Lord's church. It's Jesus' church. I understand what they're saying. And if it belongs to Jesus Christ, then what should I call that church that he said that he was going to build? I don't call it anything else other than what I know it should be called. The Church of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, did Christ even build the church that he promised? Yes. He promised that he would establish and build a church. He also said that he would build a kingdom and establish a kingdom. So with that said, the next set of verses that we have to go to, of course, is the book of Acts chapter 2. Again, I'll wait for you. I'll turn there myself and we're going to turn to the second chapter of the book of Acts, and you know that Peter and the rest of the apostles, according to verse 14, are now standing and they are preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And he told those disciples, you wait there until you see the Spirit come. And so they're waiting. The day of Pentecost now arrives. And thousands of people are there in Jerusalem, and these men with great courage and boldness stand up, as it says in verse 14, raise their voice and begin to preach the gospel, and we have the recorded message of Peter himself. After preaching this sermon on Jesus Christ, the very focus and the center of this message, by the way, guess what happens? They are pricked in their hearts. Look at verse 36. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And you understand, by just a simple reading, that these 3,000 people, we are told in verse 41, they listened to Peter, they responded to Peter. Because Peter told them in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then the Bible says, you'll notice there, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Added to what? The answer, by the way, is found in verse 47. You can't get away with it. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What were they added to? They were added to the church that Jesus said He would establish back in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. So, the promise now has been fulfilled. The prophecy He made has been fulfilled. Therefore, we can only conclude, not only was the church of Jesus Christ on that occasion fulfilled and built, but also the kingdom was established. With that said, it's obvious here that there is, at that moment, at that time, on the day of Pentecost, a group of people, individuals, who are called the Ecclesia, who are called the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. To what church did they belong to? Who did they belong to at that particular time? Was it the Church of Christ that Jesus promised? Yes. Were there any other churches that were in existence, denominations at that particular time? The answer to that is no. There was only one church that was built on that day, and it was the Church of Jesus Christ. They were added when they were baptized into Christ to the church that He said that He would build. And I will submit to you, my friend, that if you were to read this chapter and every chapter in the book of Acts, chapter 2, all the way to the end of this book, you will notice there are no denominations ever mentioned in the book of Acts. Not one. I do have a checkbook, and by the way, I'll make this claim. I'll write a $100 check to you if you can find me just one denomination that's mentioned in the book of Acts. All 28 chapters. Can't do it. And the reason why is simply because it's just not there. The only church in existence at this time and forward was the church that Jesus said that He would build, that He would establish. Now, if it was possible, if it is possible that I would be able to actually meet with that preacher on that program of Nancy Grace, on national television, I would ask him some question as well. I would say, was a church established on the day of Pentecost or not? He would have to say yes. Did that church actually belong to Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost? He would have to say, I know he would say yes. If so, if that's the truth and it's his church, then whose church is it? Isn't it the Church of Christ? He would have to say yes. Is there any wrong thing about that terminology? No. Using the Church of Christ. If it wasn't the Church of Christ, then whose church was it? You see, if you admit that the Church of Christ was established on Pentecost nearly 2,000 years ago, and I'm talking to this Baptist preacher, then why would you say that the Church of Christ is only 150 years old? I'm talking about the pure Church of Jesus Christ, the actual church that was established on that occasion by Jesus Himself. Now, in the book of Romans, what's interesting is that you're going to find our third passage of Scripture, which is Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Just to prove to you that's in my Bible. And we're going to read it together. I quoted it to you just a moment ago, but we're going to read it again. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you or salute you. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans somewhere around 56 to 58 A.D. And Paul says these words to these brethren 20-something years after the Church of Jesus Christ was established. Obviously, when you read that verse, churches of Christ were established. Now, who established those churches of Christ throughout Asia and throughout the area, like Thessalonica and Corinth and Galatia and Rome and so forth? Paul, with others, would go on a missionary journey, and they would establish these congregations, and then once they were established, may I ask you a question, what church did he establish? He didn't establish his church, he established the Church of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus, in Acts chapter 9, who told him and gave him his own commission to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. So he goes to these different locations. And as the gospel was preached and individuals obeyed the gospel, the Church of Jesus Christ was established in that city. And that's why Paul identified other churches. He said, churches of Christ. Notice he didn't say the church of John the Baptizer. He didn't say the church of John Calvin or the church of Martin Luther. Of course, they were not even in existence at the time. And he didn't say the church of Peter. And he didn't say the church of Apollos. And he didn't even say the church of the Apostle Paul. Even though there were those in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, who said they wanted to be called after those particular men, like Peter, like Apollos, and Paul himself. And he told them, no, don't you do it. You were not baptized in my name. You don't call yourself after me. You are a disciple and believer in Jesus Christ himself. Now, this Baptist preacher made a claim in that, and I'm using the word Baptist preacher respectively, okay? He's the one on national TV who said these words and said that the Church of Christ, we're in this building today, you know, this is a building, we are the church. So the church that they are a part of was actually founded by and started by a man by the name of Alexander Campbell. You know, he was born in Ireland on September the 12th, 1788. Now, before I get into the question that I would like to ask this individual on Nancy Grace, before I give him a particular question that I want him to answer, I want to point out that we have already established by the Scriptures that the Church of Christ Jesus promised to build was established on the first day of Pentecost. And because of that fact, we've also understand that Campbell himself, in his own study in Scotland, because he moved to Scotland to preach. And you know what he was preaching and where he was preaching? He was actually a Presbyterian minister, a preacher. In his own study, he came to the conclusion, you know what we need to do? We need to go back to the New Testament. We need to go back to the book of Acts. We need to go back and call things by what they are based on the Scriptures themselves. Nothing more, nothing less. And we need to stop following men's creeds, but also understand that when I read my Bible, I only read of one church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. I know that's alarming to some people out there. But truthfully, that is the truth. And that's why Paul only mentioned the churches of Christ. One thing he doesn't understand in history is that there are other men who are already saying those things. He's in Scotland saying those things. But there's already men who are here in the States who are saying the same thing, like James O'Kelly and Elias Smith, trying to get people to go away from denominationalism and to go to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were talking about restoring New Testament Christianity. And that started in 1801 when they started preaching like this. Alexander Campbell didn't come to America until 1809. Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Jesus Christ. Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Jesus Christ. Now I want to go back to a question. If, as you say, if I was talking to this particular man, this preacher, this Baptist preacher, I would say, you know, if you say the Church of Christ was started by Alexander Campbell 150 years ago, then please explain how the Apostle Paul refers to them as the Church of Jesus Christ being in existence 2,000 years ago. Now, I can assume that he would say this. Well, you know, the churches of Christ Paul spoke about in the book of Romans is different than the Church of Christ that Alexander Campbell began. I know that's what he would say because I've heard that before. But he misunderstands. And the reason why is because even Alexander Campbell himself said, I'm not starting a new religion. Just like many others in the Restoration Movement are calling people back to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're simply going to call ourselves Christians, and I myself will no longer be a Presbyterian minister, just simply a Christian. Now, here's the reason why this is true. Last verse. Go to Luke chapter 8 and look at what Jesus said in verse 11. You see, it was true back then as it is true now. And when Jesus said these words, this principle has never changed and will never change. And the reason why is because he says in verse 11, I already know it, you know it. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. You see it for yourself. There you have the parable of the seed, of the sower. And it's very obvious that when Jesus said these words, he's talking about, yes, the Word of God. So when the seed was planted into the hearts of those who were listening to Jesus Christ in the first century, it would produce something. What would it produce? It would produce a disciple of Jesus Christ. Question. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost to those thousands of people, and we just have 3,000 of many other multiple thousands listening, and just 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day, and they were added to the church. Let me ask you a question. Was Paul, or rather Peter, preaching the gospel? Yes. Was he spreading the seed of God? Yes. Did he produce a multiplicity of denominations, and those denominations teaching all different kinds of doctrines and whatever it is? No. On that day, from a purity standpoint, when Peter stood up with the other apostles and preached the gospel, guess what? What was produced from the seed that was planted in the hearts of those men? Christians that day. Now, they were not called Christians until Acts chapter 11, verse 26, but they were considered disciples of Jesus, believers in Jesus. Known to be Christians later on, yes, and called Christians. But guess what? What was produced when that seed was planted in those individuals, men and women? Disciples of Jesus, believers of Jesus, saved individuals, members of the church of Jesus Christ. So what church was established on that day because of the seed planted? It was the church of Jesus Christ. So if we plant a seed today and do the same thing that Peter does on the day of Pentecost, it will reap the same results. Christians. And nothing more than just Christians. If they were standing around at that moment and they were talking to each other after the day of Pentecost, and if you go down to verse 44 to verse 47, there is a period of time between 43 and 44. We don't know the period of time that elapsed between those two verses, but now they're in the temple. Now they are having all things in common. Now daily they are meeting together, and guess what? What would you say now that you're disciples and believers in Jesus? Now the church has been established, the kingdom of God, and of course they were being taught by the apostles continuously because of verse 42. But notice now, notice, think about this. Don't miss this. What are we, by the way? Who are we? Hey, James, who are we? What do we call ourselves? You know the answer, don't you? From a purity standpoint, he would say, James would say, well, you're a believer in Jesus. Yes? You were baptized into Christ. Yes? You're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are. So that's who we are. We're followers of Jesus. We're the church, the ecclesia of Jesus. Yep, that's who you are. If you plant the seed of God, there's going to be a harvest. And the problem is that so many times people hear the word denominationalism and they get used to it. A little girl one time was walking with her father and she was saying to him, you know, Dad, we attend worship together and Mom does not. I mean, come on, Dad, does God do things for our best? And he says, well, sure. God does things for our best, always. Well, if that's true, then, Daddy, if God does all things for the best, why didn't He make just one church so you and me and Mom can all go to the same church together? You see, you can take that back to the first century. When they left their homes to walk to the temple, in verse 46 and verse 47, going there to meet with other brethren who are now Christians and followers, what were they walking to? Who were they walking to? Other fellow Christian believers in Jesus Christ, all worshiping and also all evangelizing, and they were doing everything in common together because at that point they were the Church of Jesus Christ. So based on the scriptures that I've just submitted to you, I think the conclusion that you have to come to is that the Church of Jesus Christ is real. It is what we ought to be calling ourselves. And it's man that comes along and says, oh no, you call yourself something else. You can believe something else. It really doesn't matter if we agree or disagree doctrinally or religiously because we're all right. That's not what the Bible teaches. You see, when you think about it and you go back to this question, are we just another denomination? Then that contradicts everything I just spoke about in those four simple scriptures. Mankind has become so used to denominationalism that they just don't think about it in any other way. Several years from now, I mean, what, Ryan is 27 years old. He was 5 years old and he was playing t-ball. And it was one night and I was watching him play. I was in the outfield behind the fence, center field's right there, and Ryan was playing second base. And I was watching him play and there was a man standing beside me. His last name was Hogan. His daughter was on the same team as Ryan. We were talking and talked about some familiar things, similar things, and he asked me who I was, and I told him, and I, hey, you know, we're having a Bring Your Family Day in a couple of weeks. Would you like to come to that Bring Your Family Day? We're at the Margaret Street Church of Christ, and he said, well, I'll think about that. Thanks for the invite. Well, I didn't know it, but his next-door neighbor was Bob Curran. Bob Curran and his wife were members of the Margaret Street congregation and invited him also to come to our Bring Your Family Day. And guess what? They came. And guess what? They ate. And I sat at the same table and we conversed and I asked him if he'd be willing to have a Bible study. And he said yes. Well, we set the Bible study and I showed up. He was not there. He was called off because his work, he worked for Shell Company offshore. He was a not on the rig itself, but he was a diver. But she said, well, I want to go ahead and have the first study. I said, okay, let's have the very first study. And so I showed her the Jewel Miller DVD, and so we watched it together. The next time he came, and we had another study, and then a third study. And on that third study, as we were watching the DVD and then we were talking about certain things, of course, because of the study itself, I could tell that a light came on, a switch came on. And she said, now, wait a minute, you're not asking us, and really the DVD mentions this and says that, you're not asking us to leave our denomination for the Church of Christ denomination, are you? You are asking us to leave our denomination altogether just to be members of the Church of Jesus Christ that we read of in the New Testament going all the way to the book of Acts. I said, you are absolutely correct. So you're saying all we have to do is go all the way back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, where Jesus said, I will build my church. He built his church. He established his kingdom. And we can just be called Christians. I said, you are absolutely correct. And she said, he said, well, we want to go right now and be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins and be added to Jesus and his church only. You know, later on, that man became a gospel preacher. Went to preaching school, and became a gospel preacher. You know why? Because the Word of God was planted in his heart and he believed in New Testament Christianity. You see, those who belong to Jesus Christ are those who belong to the Lord because they hear the Word of God. The seed goes into their hearts and minds and they believe it. Just like on the day of Pentecost, they believed those words that were preached by Peter to the point that the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. You can read it for yourself. And you can look at all the other examples of conversion in the book of Acts, where they too were convicted in their hearts because they heard the Word of God and they responded to it. And they became members added to the church of Jesus and simply disciples, no more, no less, calling themselves Christians. Tonight, you can do the same thing. Obey the gospel tonight. We call it obeying the good news that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins on a cross, a cruel cross, and that cross, of course, is something that we all understand. Changed history and changed our position. And if we respond to the Word of God, respond to the cross, then we can be saved. Have hope of eternity with God and Jesus Christ. All because we are members of the church that Jesus died for. You can be just a Christian tonight. Nothing more, nothing less. And help others to understand the truth from the Bible. And by the way, I'm still going to give you, of course, this handout that you can take with you. And you can study for yourself. And if you're a visitor here tonight and you question what I have to say, that's fine. I'm glad that you're here. I hope you'll open your hearts and mind and just simply say, okay, teach me some more. I don't understand, or I might even disagree. That's okay. That's what we're here for, to open the Word. But I want you to think about what you just heard tonight. And if that has pricked you, if that has moved you, then I hope you'll come as we stand and sing this song. Will you come?
There was no one day round the soul of God.